The Columbia Workshop, under the direction of William N. Robeson.
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop presents The Wedding of a Meteor, an industrial fantasy written for radio by Leslie Roberts and Joel Hamill. The Workshop believes this play to be an excellent example of the type of material which is particularly suitable for radio, which indeed could scarcely be made credible if presented in another medium. The Workshop again asks for your reactions, your comments, criticisms, and suggestions on this performance.
The Columbia Workshop presents The Wedding of the Meteors.
Somewhere far out in space, regions eternally still with silences inconceivable to man, two meteors, nomads of the skies, defying the order of an ordered universe, offending astral worlds in their headlong haste, plunge through the unresisting nothingness.
Haste, graze your way through envious stars, but haste.
I hear, I come as fast as my will allows.
Destiny's fulfillment awaits. Countless ages in countless universes grew weary, separating the inseparable.
That created in me yearns for that created in you.
Yet strangers are we to each other, rebels of alien worlds, casting aside restraining wills to fling ourselves at each other in answer to an undeniable urging.
Even as you need me, there is little rest for myself, till satisfaction we find in our dual unity.
After eternities of waiting, what are years but moments? But haste, follow the straight course you have chosen, and I shall follow mine. Each moment finds us closer until soon our paths shall be one.
Before us, look!
A planet!
In our path! What is there to do?
Swerve! Wrench yourself away!
I cannot!
Nor I! It's full, lends to no resisting!
So close we were! So close!
Rushing at this cursed globe! Oh, fate of monstrous irony!
The heat! Insufferable it grows!
We glow like radiant stars!
So close! So close!
What justice be there, when what best be together be held apart?
The price of revolt! I burn! I burn!
Burn, then, both of us! Better consumed in this rushing air than held apart. Perchance an atom of a cinder I become shall one day touch one that was you. Till then,
forever shall we yearn to be one.
Transcontinental Railroad. Hello? Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Oh, Mr. Kent. 1 minute, please, Mr. Kent.
No time for chatter, sister. Big business with a big boss.
I'm sorry, you'll have to wait and be an hour.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Mr. Kent, stop. Mr. Slope won't see anyone without appointment.
Hello, Chief.
Huh? Well, what do you want, Kent?
I'll have a seat. You see this gadget on my desk? You know what it is? Sure, the buzzer that should have announced me, but I couldn't wait.
Well, what do you want?
I see a newspaper on your desk. Did you read it? I don't mean the market reports to see how many millions you made before lunch. I mean the news, right on the front page.
Now, listen here, Kent. If you've come to bother me with one of your cheap publicity stunts...
Oh, cheap publicity stunts, is it? The greatest scoop of the history of American railroading hits me between the eyes, and the guy who hands me my bread and butter calls it a cheap publicity...
I don't see anything unusual in the paper.
The headline, what does it say?
Two meteors fall...
Well, what about it? Mr. Slope, look. Meteors are metallic bodies that fly through the air with the greatest of ease, and occasionally plop on our old planet Earth. Mr. Slope... I said they are metallic bodies. You know what that means? Metals. Lots of iron, lots of nickel, lots of, well, what have you. Maybe little diamonds, even. But we're not interested in the diamonds, Mr. Sloat. just metals, particularly iron. You see, Mr. Sloat, iron is used in the manufacture of steel.
Now, listen here, Kent. I'm a Harvard man.
Keep your shirt on, Harvard, and let me finish. I was saying steel is used in making locomotives, and your stockholders are interested in making profits, and that's why you got your job, and that's why I got mine, to build publicity into dividends. Now, listen here, Sloat.
Mr. Sloat.
All right, Mr. Sloat. This is a publicity stunt that will knock our competitors into a cocked hat. A locomotive. Two locomotives. Built out of the metal smelted from two meteors. Two heavenly bodies. The essence of speed. Meteors. The spirit of the meteors. How's that for a name?
Say, I wouldn't be surprised we have something there.
Here, my boy. Have a cigar.
Get the cable under!
Finish, huh? Come a job. Two big mountains to put on a flat top.
Better and get going, Tony.
All right. I'm going to be glad to get home and see Josephine and the Bambino.
What's wrong with them guys in the home office? Laying 6 miles of track from the main trunk just to pick up two filthy rocks out of a sinking swamp. That ain't nuts.
Touch me, boss. Just the same, I get paid. Job is a job. Who cares?
3 weeks digging and shoveling muck for what? If it's rocks they want, I could get them plenty right in their own backyard, too. But no, they gotta have just these.
Ah, forget it, boss. We're almost finished. My Josephine, is she waiting?
Hey, bring that crane car up a bit. There, hold it.
On the one rock, off she goes.
Hey, get over there, Tony. Help him with that cable. Don't let it slip. Hey, you with the winch, pull in the slack.
Tony, out of the way.
A couple of greased planks over here. How's it on your end, Steve?
Okay.
A tackle, get it out of the way. You ready up there?
Right.
All right, then, pull her up slow. Hey, Tony, don't let her swing.
All right.
Give it.
He won't budge. He's getting all he can take.
Oh, the devil she is. No more calling you, blasted fire. Get up, Steve. This ain't a picnic. Get it going.
Leave me not. So close we have fallen. Stay.
There it is. Now you got it moving. 6 timbers under it. Don't let it slip back.
Not to be torn apart. Come back.
I tried, but it availed me not. Pulling and tearing at me with their wires and engines.
Don't let it slip back, I say. Keep it going. Hey, you lunkhead. Blocks underneath. Follow it.
So close we have come.
What the devil's wrong with your blasted voice?
It ain't the weight. I can't make it out. It's
going.
Back.
Turn me out of the way.
I got it. Gentlemen, at the request of Dr. Swanson, head of our research laboratory at the smelting plant, I've taken it upon myself to call this special meeting of our board of directors. Dr. Swanson.
Thank you, Mr. Sloat. Gentlemen, all I have to say is, give up this idea of making locomotives from meteors.
If I had any idea that you...
I had no inkling that the research department expects to be consulted in matters of policy.
I know nothing about the business of running railroads.
Perhaps our learned doctor has some reason for his interesting suggestion.
Gentlemen, I have analyzed the two meteors which are now in the smelting plant. There's nothing unusual in their composition. The average amount of iron, manganese, nickel, and so on to be found in such bodies.
Enough to make two locomotives?
More than enough.
Fine, but grand. I tell you boys, there's enough publicity in this to make our competitors squeal.
No, you can't go on with it.
With what?
The construction of the locomotives.
And why not, Dr. Swanson?
Three men have already been killed working at the stove.
Well, we've certainly spent enough on safety equipment.
One might have been an accident. Possibly two even, but three men.
Is there some definite reason for these accidents?
I have traced the cause to the meteors themselves. If I knew the basic reason, I could explain the supernatural.
Look here, Swanson. You're talking like a witch doctor.
Perhaps witch doctors know more about these things. I frankly am baffled.
At what?
It's nothing new in meteors possessing magnetic qualities. It seemed obvious enough at first that our two stones are of that sort. But no. It turned out that they were attracted by nothing else but themselves. Oh, I performed all sorts of experiments. I duplicated the composition chemical by chemical, gram by gram. But no use. Only to each other would the stones respond. It was like prying loose a homing pigeon. By instinct, the two meteors almost seemed to smell each other out of a mass of debris. It was like a kind of unnatural wooing.
Are you mad, Swanson?
I don't think so, sir. What else can explain it away? An affinity exists between them that will know no denying.
I broke up a swell golf foursome just to listen to this fairy tale.
The love life of a meteor. Go on, Dr. Swanson. My wife's got a yen for gossip. She'll get a kick out of this.
Now, look here, Swanson. You were given the most responsible post when you were put in charge of research. At my recommendation, too. All I can say is, you place me in a most embarrassing position.
I'm thinking only of the welfare of the railroad. To go on is to court disaster.
Not to stick to your test tube, Swanson, and lay off the highball.
You're tampering with unknown forces.
Confound it, man. You're tampering with my patients.
You must not build those trains.
Not a care, Swanson. Plenty of men are walking the streets with as many degrees as holes in their shoes. Now, either go back to your shop or... Well, I guess you know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Strike! Strike! Oh, what further torment!
Beating at us, tearing at us. What are we now but heaps of dust?
Yet we shall be one.
Where is the waking from this drug delirium? What is this myth of an awaited destiny? Destiny indeed. From proud heart of some far-off star to this piteous state. Can that be destiny? Oh, what deceitful yearning was it that prompted such rashness?
Let not the hammerings and tearings of these pitiful creatures confound that which must remain pure between us. Faith in what is to be our union.
Pitiful creatures! Are they then to be pitied? Pitiful perhaps in stature, but godlike with powers of their call, forces great as any we have known, on tiptoes avid to spring at their bidding. A button pushed, a sun unblinded, a switch thrown, a flood unleashed. Our miserable state speaks eloquently. Even now, what is this before us? The heat of an angry sun, the glare of a comet's tail, its maw stretched wide, the red eye of its fiery gut looking hungrily at whom? At me! At me!
Not you alone. Us. A twin monster leers at me as well. A furnace, 'tis called by them that tend it. Priest-like behind mask-like shields, daring not to look upon the full glory of their god with bold, naked eyes. But yet a moment. Is it not possible this be the end we seek? Within yon glare of whitish heat, substances yield most guarded impurities, flowing out like sluggish rays, leaving quintessence in place of corrupted mass. And there in that inferno, where all becomes solvent, how better could we find true union than in the pouring into a common mold?
And then... together.
Forever separable by none.
Our nuptials.
Yielding and taking, until blended into one suffusion.
For music.
The clanging of Vulcan from Tiffany, the roar of the flame celli, the hissing of steam, the screech of metals.
And for my bridal veil.
Dancing, spitting, sparks and cascading folds. Perhaps this has all been with good cause. Or is it not out of suffering real happiness emerges?
How strange. A moment passed, a consuming pit of horror. And now transmuted into an unbelievable joy. Forgive me, Furnish. Angry words of an angry moment. Not a ravenous maw, but a generous mouth, offering much in its taking little. Not a red eye in a fiery gut, but a kindly beacon beckoning to yearning end. What strange pebbles are the facets of our emotions that, when cast into the still pool of truth, disturbed waters shudder, casting back distortions of the mind.
Mike,
what do you want?
The temperature on number 3. What is it?
Stick your head in and see.
I'll be glad when this job is through. Mike, tell me, what's the reason?
It ain't gonna bite you. What's the matter? Heebie-jeebies?
Them darn meteors. They give me the willies.
They ain't hanging around no more.
I know, but even after they went through the breakers, Mike, I can still see it over there. Two big mounds of dirt like two new graves. I don't want to even get near the furnace. Something can still happen.
Listen, screwball, nothing's happening, you hear?
Wait, waiting to go on a killing spree again. You know how many got killed by them meteors? 3. 3 guys like you and me.
Ah, nuts. You've been listening to Doc Swanson. He's wacky, too. Got you going off the deep end now. Why don't you be like me, Jeff? You don't see me seeing ghosts all over the joint. They're just two crummy rocks.
I saw the blood on them just before they went to the breakers. Blood, big rusty splotches.
Yeah. You want to get yourself transferred to the office, Jeff. Nice, easy job. You know, easy on the nerve. Big desk, lots of white paper, and pretty blotter.
Oh, cut it.
You got to have guts for this job. You're licked.
I ain't licked.
When a pile of ore gets in your hair and makes you see boogeymen, I say you're through, see?
Mike, listen. My kid, he goes to school. He was telling me of a story in a book about two big rocks out in the ocean. When a ship would go between them, they'd come together and bang. Mike, maybe these two meteors... Doc Swanson, he's a smart guy with school learning. Now, he says...
Ah, Doc Swanson. They'll put you both in the same padded cell. Go on now, turn your furnace.
No, I don't want to go near it, Mike. Oh, come on, Mike, give me a break. Understand? Take my work over just this once. I'll do it for you someday, honest. Listen to the roar. Look at the glow coming out of the mouth. It ain't natural, I tell you. What kind of devils in there?
After the rolling crew gets through with your devils, they'll look like any other chunk of steel. Now, get going. Lose your job and your wife will show you more kinds of devils than you ever dreamed about. Go on, get at the gas valves. Come on.
Yeah. I'm going.
All right, give me the gun. Turn on those tow yards and watch your devils yell uncle. I take my hat off to him.
Don't talk that way, Mike.
Shooting stars are lucky. Here's where Mike gets his luck changed. Hey, where are you going?
I ain't staying here, I ain't.
Listen, if you don't cut out the prima donna act, I'm going to haul off with this
Mike,
car.
I'm telling you I ain't. Well, honest. Here, look at my hands. They're shaking like...
Number 3, ready to pour.
Come on now. Give me that sledge. Steel. All that matters. Muscle and steel. Stand back. This goes home. There she goes. Well, Jeff, you feel better?
Yeah, I guess so. Looks okay, don't it? I was kind of jumpy, wasn't it?
Kind of.
Mike.
Yeah?
Can you sort of forget, well, you know...
Ah, skip it.
Mike.
Well?
Look.
Where?
The sloop. I'm getting out of here.
What's the devil's wrong with
this? This one, right? Look at the 2 friends, pointed 2 and 3. They're trying to get at each other. They can overflow.
Come back here.
Kill him. Mike, up there, hurry. Kill Bernie in the black and sail. Up there, Mike.
Turn off the floats. Huck there ain't gonna lift me. You hear me up there? I'm the crew furnace. Pull out your float.
There. That does it.
Number 3 furnace. Up. Bring it up. In your place where you belong. Throw your blamed heads off now. Ain't gonna do you no good. Shoot.
shooting stars, meteors, you're all one to Mike. If you got iron in you, tip my hat. If you ain't, you're just dirt. And you need guts to work at steel. You hear that, Jeff, you yellow dog up there? Climb up on the rafters, you monkey.
You fixed it, Mike. You fixed it.
Sure. I took your bloody devils and told them off. If I catch them up to any more shenanigans, I'll twist them all in chains.
Careful, Donald. I want nothing to happen to those model trains. It took a lot of time to make them.
Oh, Donald, don't you think it's time for bed, dear?
Oh, Mom, can't you say I'm an engineer now?
Yes, but I want you to stop playing with those toy trains now and go to bed.
Ella, haven't I told you a dozen times those are not toy trains? They're exact replicas of the two trains making their inaugural run tonight. They're even made from the same metal.
Yes, I know, Edgar. Those terrible meteors. That's why I want Donald to leave them alone. I don't like them. I'm afraid of them.
Oh, it's not them. It's those trains speeding out there in the night I'm worried about. Hundreds of tons of steel. Hundreds of people, innocent people, laughing, unafraid. They laughed at me, Ellie. Maybe they had a right to.
Choo-choo,
I don't know.
Lower the
please,
gate,
Edgar.
Meteor Special 2 coming through.
No, I don't sleep nights.
I know, dear.
They talk to me. The two meteors, I mean. It's all mad, I know. It doesn't make sense, does it, Ellie? But why do they act the way they have? When? Where will it stop?
Shall I turn the radio on now, Edgar? You know, they're broadcasting from the train, and it's time for the broadcast now.
Through the tunnel! We, number one special round the bend!
Shortwave transmitter. And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, in the engineer's cab of that latest marvel of railroad development, Spirit of the Meteor Number 1, making its inaugural trip across the country. Because of the unusual
Donald,
news...
Donald, stop running those toys.
Meteors,
I mean those model trains.
We have trains. A very celebrated gathering
of
the Spirit of the Meteor Number 1 tonight. The body of Mr. Sloat and several other executives of the line have left the celebration going on in the club car to watch for the approach of the Spirit of Meteor Number 2, due soon to pass us, going in the opposite direction. Mr. Sloat, would you mind saying a few words to the radio audience? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sloat, president of the Transcontinental Railway.
I and my associates have made a reality from a vision. An ideal vision, yes. At first, this monumental, unusual task seemed too much for mere man to tackle. But I am proud to say that I and my associates have been able to...
The men who died rot in their graves, but he talks...
No, my friends. Success, I have found in my experience as a captain of American industry, is built upon that inestimable quality of perseverance, which
yes, I... Yes, of course, Mr. Sloat. Quite right, I'm sure. But now, could you tell us just how soon it will be before the Spirit of Meteor Number 2 should come into sight?
What's that? The other train. Certainly. Engineer, when will the other train pass us?
You know, of course, that the precision of our timetable is the envy of the railroad world.
What's that? Any minute now, you see, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sloat. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could truly describe the thrill there is in setting up here in this powerful locomotive speeding through the black night. The clicking of the wheels, the shrill cry of the whistle, can you hear them? How different it was back in the club car, dancing, laughing, and pretty women. But up here, it's like in another world. All business, meters, dials, switches, the hum and whine of the motors, spotless. Not at all like the old grimy coal burners with its soot and cinders and black smoke. I wish words could tell you the true picture of this monster of steel tearing through the night's blackness, its beaming eye picking out a narrow path across the wooden ties that fly past like pickets of a fallen fence, steel rails flashing in the gloom, and everywhere else just a vast blackness. It's like being alone on a real speeding meteor hurtling through space. I can think of no better simile. Everyone is peering ahead, intent on being the first to spot the Spirit of the Meteor Number 2, soon to bear down on us from the opposite track. She should be along very soon now. And now I'm going to turn the microphone around to let you hear the general sounds of the conversation around me.
Well, engineer, I thought you said we'd be passing each other soon.
Yes, sir. Should be along any moment now, sir.
Sound your whistle. yet we shall belong to each other.
Perhaps the other train may hear us. A bed may be blocking them from view.
The engineer.
Yep.
Traveling in a pretty lively clip, aren't you? You got a date somewhere?
Some fella like you ain't scared, is he?
Better throttle down a bit. We could be a few seconds.
Very well, Mr. Sloat. We sure have been hitting it up, folks. Didn't know we were out to break any speed records, but
look,
if we were, we
there.
Could...
There comes number two.
Wait a moment, ladies and gentlemen. I'll have a look. Yes, sure enough. Way up ahead, it's single beam coming around the bend. The lighted windows of the other car strung out behind like a glittering necklace. The engineer is reaching for the whistle cord.
Closer, closer.
Listen, I believe they're answering.
Many times thwarted, perhaps this time not. Closer, closer.
The other train has heard us. Did you hear their answer? We're fast approaching each other. In a few moments, we'll be abreast. We seem to be going faster and faster. Even the trains are impatient, it seems.
Engineer, I told you to cut down speed.
You don't seem to do no good, Mr. Sloan.
Well, what do you mean?
Can't throttle down, yet we're speeding up, even on an upgrade.
You're crazy.
Yes, sir.
We'll fly off the track at the first.
Mr. Sloat.
Well, what do you want, conductor?
Passengers back there are complaining. They can't hold their feet. Rice wire is being broken. Came up front to see what's wrong.
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Go on back there and tell them so. Well, go on. You hear?
Something seems to be wrong up here. The engineer was a little bit worried. No cause for alarm, though for a moment I did get the sensation of being aboard a runaway. We're getting a bit of shaking up here. I hope the microphone doesn't get bounced out of commission.
Hey, nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's going to happen. Confound you.
Breathe, at last. Facing the wind again.
Closer, closer.
There's no reason for this, engineer.
Of course.
Well, do something.
The figure number two is approaching rapidly. We're only about a half a mile apart. And the way they seem to swing, they're the same time that we are. I can say that we're both going around 150 miles an hour. Everyone aboard here seems to be panic-stricken. I can hardly keep the microphone before me. We're vibrating so.
Ellie,
a few hundred yards
happening.
Away now.
What's causing happening?
Please, Ed, let me
about
hear
meteors wooing. The headlight of number two has reached us. It looks like a thing alive. In a few seconds, we'll...
Why, the radio's gone dead. What's happened?
Daddy! Daddy, my train!
The radio didn't go dead. Look down there.
Edgar! What's the matter?
The toy trains have crashed. They're melting into one.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, there's been an interruption in this special broadcast from the new transcontinental train, the Spirit of the Meteor Number One. We hope to reestablish contact shortly. In the meantime, following station identification, we shall present an interlude of organ music.
Just heard The Wedding of the Meteors, an experimental radio play written for the Columbia Workshop by Leslie Roberts and Joel Hamill. The musical score was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann. The entire production was under the direction of William N. Robeson. Workshop wishes to thank the hundreds of listeners who are actively participating in its work by writing their comments, criticisms, and suggestions each week. Again, we ask for your reaction to this broadcast. Please address your communications to the Columbia Workshop, care of the Columbia Network, New York City. Next week, and every Saturday thereafter, the Columbia Workshop will be heard at its usual time, 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Remember, on Saturday at 8, it's the Columbia Workshop. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.